Every time my dear friend, Dr. Richard Little, would take his granddaughter to the beach, he'd take off his watch and just put it away. Now, I know it makes you nervous when a preacher does that, right? And one day, she was curious about why he always did this, and she asked him. And it was a response that she never would forget. He said, "I want to do nothing other than just be with you and let the world go by." What a beautiful expression of love, pure and simple, love and delight in someone. I want to do nothing other than just be with you and let the world go by. It's another way of saying, you matter more to me than anything else in the world. And if you and I can love someone like that, we love well. And that brings us to our scripture this morning, which is about loving God well. We want to keep our focus, so we're going to keep it to one verse this morning. Let's read it together. Delight yourselves in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Now, you sounded like a bunch of Presbyterians on that one, so we have to read it again. Delight yourselves in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. This is one of the most loved promises of Scripture, and it should be. I mean, what it promises is beautiful. The very desires of your heart fulfilled. But it's so easy to see this verse in a kind of one-sided way. And it's important to understand that this verse is not simply promising, oh, just praise God. Maybe I should say it this way. Just praise God and everything will go well with you. Now, that's part of it in some ways, but oh, it's not all of it by any means. To understand it better, we need to see something of its larger context. I like to think of Psalm 37 as a count to 10 psalm. You know what you know that is when you're about to lose your temper, right? Someone says, be sure to count to 10. Any of us who have had to deal with a temper in our lives have realized, okay, that's usually a good rule of thumb. Well, this psalm was actually something of a tool for doing that, but it does it with letters. So it's what you call an acrostic psalm, which means that every other line begins with the subsequent letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So, you know, in English, using a Roman alphabet, think of it as A, B, C, D. These are the things I'm going to think about. Now, the larger content of the psalm is about not worrying when wicked people seem to prosper. Here's how it begins. Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be anxious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. And it goes on from there. But what you see here is the context. This psalm assures God's people and counsels them against thinking that doing the wrong thing is going to pay off. And it tells us instead to wait on God. Jesus drew from this as well when he taught, God blesses those who are humble. Blessed are the meek. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. So this psalm is really about keeping your focus on God in the middle of a mess when the wicked seem to win. And this verse, our verse, is all about that focus. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. It's about why we can, because in the end, God wins. And if you read through the whole psalm, you'll see that. And nothing is more satisfying than just being close to Him. And we need that reminder just as much as the ancient Hebrews did. We need it deeply. We need it daily. But I would suggest to you that when we look at this verse, we also run into a problem with language, specifically with word equivalence. So a word that says one thing in one language usually doesn't say the same thing exactly in another language. So every language, every word carries certain nuances of meaning with it, does it not? That's why when you look up a word in a dictionary, you may see one, two, three, four, several different definitions of the same word. And this is where I'd like to suggest to you, frankly, that English doesn't translate this verse well enough. Frankly, the word delight just doesn't quite cut it. It sounds like something 18th century English gentlemen would use over tea with, you know, delight yourself. If someone, I mean, it just sounds a little superficial. If somebody tells me to delight myself, I'm going to look at them a little, you know, askance, wouldn't you? I mean, red-blooded people just don't talk that way. Yet, most of the translations, that's what they have, delight yourself. The meaning of the word in Hebrew, though, contains both the concept of being deeply happy as well as enjoying in a very down-to-earth way the most intimate and exquisite details of something. Think of a mother with a small baby or where we started, a grandparent with a grandchild. Every slight detail is celebrated and reveled in. Just being with the other person is a joy. And we need to grasp more of the weight of these words because there's a weight of glory in them that we must not miss. The deep, deep joy that shakes you to the core of your being and drives you to your knees in worship because you realize this is what you were made for and nothing less. So I'm sorry, the word delight just doesn't go deep enough. One of the ways you sometimes hear this verse interpreted is with the emphasis in the wrong place as well. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. In other words, God is a means to an end. And the end is your own personal desires. And I'm sorry, but that's too superficial a way to see it again. It just doesn't go far enough. It's only when we come to the end of ourselves and get caught up in the wonder of who He is that we begin to find the true satisfaction that we were looking for all along. The better way to see this is with God as the end Himself. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. If our emphasis is upon ourselves, we'll never really understand what it fully means to enjoy God. Because after all, where's the wonder? And this is what we were made for, to behold Him in His wonder. There's an old folktale about a man who discovered how to stir mud in such a way that it actually turned into gold. And he was pretty matter-of-fact about it. He just kind of, you know, did this on a daily basis. It really didn't change the way that he lived. And you can imagine, after a while, he developed quite a following. I mean, there were a number of people who watched him, let me tell you. They watched where he went down to the river to get his mud, and they got their mud from the same place. And then they went and they watched what tree he went to get his sticks. Oh, and they watched when he went to the potter, and they bought exactly the same kind of pot that he did. And when he sat outside his cottage and put the mud in the pot and stirred it, every day he got gold. And all they got was mud. And, you know, after a while this goes on, you can begin to understand, you know, their chagrin, until one day someone, you know, say, I've done exactly what you've been doing. Why am I just getting mud? To which he responds, oh, there is one thing. While you're sitting there stirring, you must never think about the gold. You see, if we only go to God for what we get for ourselves, we're loving ourselves, not Him. But if we love Him for Him, we get everything else thrown in. And this doesn't mean that things will always go our way, but inside, deeper than anything in this world, deeper than anything this world can reach, there will be satisfaction. The true desires of our hearts. And this is something that sometimes the church doesn't understand. You know, sometimes the church will encourage people to go in directions that really are not of the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about the true church, the church that is built on the firm foundation of the Word of God, but there are many places that capitulate to the latest cultural whim. And that, by the way, is the reason why our sister church has left one denomination and come into another, because they're trying to build their lives on the firm foundation of God's Word. It's not what we feel. I remember my sixth grade math teacher. Jamie, she said, how do you feel about this math problem? Oh, I don't feel very good about it, Mrs. Wilson. And then I remember my seventh grade math teacher, Mrs. Thornburg. She was a chain-smoking, tough old gal. You're smart. I know you're smart. And I've already spoken with your parents. And you are staying after school every day for the next several weeks until I bring you up to speed. You know, the Word of God and the will of God, there are absolutes there. And it's not that they bend to us. We are meant to bend to Him in worship. You know, I've sometimes heard this verse interpreted to mean that God will change your desires as you come to Him. But that, frankly, almost sounds like a bait and switch to me. I think it's more accurate to say that God, who made us and knows us better than any other, knows on a level deeper than we can fathom what will ultimately satisfy our souls. And He will lead us into that. Now, that may mean that He leads us to realign our priorities, but in the end, He gives us those things in Him. Those things that are the desires that He wanted us to have. And even so, any of those are secondary. Because as Augustine put it, our hearts are restless until they find rest in You. And so we come to the last and best part. Actually doing it. Delighting. In the deepest sense of the word. I think what David is after goes back to the way we started this morning. I want to do nothing other than just be with You and let the world go by. It's a matter of the heart. That's why Scripture speaks of the heart so frequently. A proverb tells us, above all things, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. And oh, we need to go before God with our hearts each day to read His Word, to take it to heart, to tell Him our wants, to tell Him our needs, to talk to Him, you know, not with these and thous, but just as you were talking to someone who is very close to you. And to give it all to Him. And to do so in the context of His Word so that His light shines in ways that perhaps we've never seen before. We need to place ourselves intentionally before Him as His children and as His servants, to lean into Him and draw strength from Him in a way that tells Him, you matter more to me than anything else. When was the last time you had a moment like that with God? Oh, we need to have these moments again and again. Not that we always, you know, feel something or have to feel something. How do you feel about this morning's devotion? Then what happens? Our feelings become the emphasis, right? Instead, simply delight in Him. Worship Him. Love Him. Seek Him. And sometimes it can be in the most wilderness of places that we find He meets us and surprises us. I find that's often the case with me. Maybe it's just because I'm so hard-headed, you know, nothing grows up there, and it takes a while sometimes for God to break through to me. And it's not Him. I mean, He could do it in a moment, but He's so gentle. It takes me a while, to realize. I think that's what David is driving at here. Just love Him. Love Him and be with Him. No matter what else happens in the world, and it will be well with you. Because if you have Him, and if your life is caught up in Him, what more? What else could you possibly need? Has not Jesus said that He will be our peace? Has He not said that our Heavenly Father cares about the smallest needs? Did He not tell us to pray about our daily bread? And that means that you and I are to come to Him daily, daily, giving Him every detail of our lives. I love what it says elsewhere in this psalm. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. I love that. His love is both infinite and intimate. And as we love Him and enjoy Him, He gives us His favor and causes us to take joy in even little and unexpected things in our lives. The imagery here reminds you of a parent with a child, doesn't it? Takes them by the hand. It's sort of a, you know, I remember my grandmother Banks, who would take us on walks around the block, and she was a very proper, you didn't mess with her, very proper kind of lady. And, you know, she was always teaching us about something. So we'd come to a fire hydrant, and she'd have us shake the chain on the fire hydrant, and you know, good morning, Mr. Fire Hydrant, how are you today? And maybe we're a quirky family, but the point is, I love those walks. You know, it's that, what next? What's next? And that's the way it is with our Abba Father, who made us and knows us and delights in every detail of our lives. And this is why Jesus came for us. It's why he went to the cross, so that you and I can genuinely know this love that longs for us, that reaches down to lift us up and take us by the hand and lead us into love and life that will never end. Love that is stronger than time and even death. Love that makes everything new. So as we wrap up, just love him. Just love him. Let him in. And you let in love. Trust him. Even when the way grows dark. And he will take you by the hand and draw you close each day. Make him the priority. Drop everything and be with him and let the world go by. Let that happen every day. We don't have to be legalistic about when it happens. You know, sometimes schedules are such that one time is better than another. It's okay, but do it. Just love him. And soon you'll see that it's not just that our Savior gives joy. He is joy. And in the end, as we delight ourselves in him, he not only gives us the desires of our hearts, he becomes the desire of our heart. And so we bow in worship and live in love for eternity. May we pray. It is why he came. And he really does love you like that. And I know, and I'm sorry, that sometimes Christian people or people who call themselves Christians are not the best representatives. But oh, look at him. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd, and he will lead you. Whatever your need may be, and he will provide, and he will make a way. And oh, because he is good. And our part, dear one, our part is that struggle of letting go of self and saying, yes, yes, Lord, I will take your hand. But as we do, it's like he takes our chin in his hand and lifts us to see him. So, oh, I encourage you. Would you take the step of faith to come to him and say yes? Yes, Lord. Oh, I do receive you. I receive what you did for me. I receive your forgiveness. I want to turn from my sins. I want to turn from myself. And I know you have the power to set me free. Whereas I'll never be perfect in this life, you will lead me where I need to be. Oh, would you trust him that way this morning? Because he is love. This is love, God's word said. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son. Lord, we love you. And we would worship you. Help us to love you and let the world go by. in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.